Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you for spreading the word. And thank you for clicking through the link, baby. That's right. You go to adamanddrdrewshow.com when you're getting something off of Amazon, and we get to wet our beaks just a little bit. Also, subscribe via the PayPal button. So quick, so simple, so easy. So important. Good to see you, Dr. Drew.
Are you hypnotizing our listeners? What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Very smooth. Like, smooth jazz.
Mm-hmm. Just please hit that PayPal button. Give us your credit card info.
It's a quiet storm.
Also, get the highlights from the first three shows of the Adam and Drew reunion tour. My question, Maxipata, is when is the rest of the reunion tour going up?
It'll be up in October.
Mm-hmm. Let's sell this one first.
All right.
Under $5.
I just think there's so much good stuff.
Oh, there is.
So much good stuff.
iTunes, baby. Or you can get it at adamcarolla.com.
How about your buddy Bryan Cranston?
Oh, man. He didn't win, right?
Yeah, but his show did. And, you know, he's already won three, as you know well.
Yeah.
It's triplets.
But everyone says that that's really just the best show of the year of all time.
Holy
or whatever.
Of all. Unbelievable.
And,
really, seriously.
So you'd think he'd do a little more winning.
It seems like they sort of scatter around Emmys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the kid that plays the Pinkerton, whoever his name is, the kid that cooks with him. I can't hear you.
Aaron Paul.
Aaron, yeah. Who's, by the way, you ever met him?
Yeah, I think we've had him on.
Nicest kid ever and humble and stuff. Gary's looking at you like you're high. No, he has
right. I don't remember. Maybe in the radio show.
No, he did the podcast, I think, years ago. But
nice
it was
kid.
A long time ago.
Anyway,
it could have been, you know, you got to understand, season one, hold on, of Breaking Bad, and season two or one and a half, it was no big deal.
Yeah.
I was giving Bryan Cranston rides to the airport. He was taking a Southwest flight to New Mexico, and it was no big whoop.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So I give that kid an Emmy every frickin' year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's amazing
also.
So anyway, whatever. So.
Yeah. Speaking of Emmy, somebody tweeted me, but as I was looking, you know, when they do the show writers rundown and when you see all the I don't know, it's a weird – there are certain things in the Emmys that are a little bit strange, but they do – they don't do this for any other – show, but variety shows, but the you know, Jimmy Kimmel Live, the Daily Show,
Colbert,
things like that. It's the only one where they do the lineup. It's like the Bob Hope, Texaco, you know, all college all-star team, you know, where everybody in the writing staff gets to be announced.
Yeah.
No, they get announced on air.
Yeah.
And the way they do it, they always try to do it in a clever and fun way. And it's always real fast and fun. But you realize these guys have 16 writers, 14, 15, 16 writers per show.
Just like you for everything you do.
Well, look.
Remember when people asked us how many writers we had on Loveline, the TV show? And we said, yeah, you're looking at them. And they were like, yeah.
That's why I said I wanted more money. But as I was looking, somebody tweeted me this. Colbert won. 16 writers, one woman. And then they said, wait till HuffPo hears about this. They're going to be pissed. Or will they? Or will they be pissed? Why?
They should be.
They should be, but they're not because he's on their side.
Oh, I see. Right.
Like when Alec Baldwin says something derogatory, they get a pass against the gays. Because he gets a pass because he's on the right side of the issue, even though he, I don't know, called someone a fag or something. But either way, you get a pass if you're on their side, meaning if you play.
Yeah, you play.
I've said it a million times. If you play for your team, you get a DUI and a vehicular manslaughter on a Thursday, you're playing on Sunday. That's cool with you if it's your team. And as we talked about, and I'm mixing my metaphors here a little bit, but we were talking about this the other day. Look, you produce, you're in. You don't produce, you're not in. And I think there was a guy who's San Francisco linebackers got into a lot of trouble and got another DUI or another domestic dispute or whatever. He was on the field on Sunday. Why? He produces.
Well, the classic is I'm going to blank on his name.
All right.
Ray.
Lewis.
Lewis. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the season was over when he had his altercation. But, yes, you produce, you play. And as I've said, Alton Smith is the name of the linebacker. But, yeah, as far as the HuffPo goes, when you go through – when they went through the lineup of the writers for the funniest shows in the land, I mean, you know, Huffington Post would agree that Jon Stewart's show and Colbert's show is the funniest show in the land, and Bill Maher and things like that. When they go through the lineup of those shows – each show has 14, 15, 16 writers. Each show has one or two females. When you do the math, and I haven't yet, but I will. When you do the math, it is something between the five shows. It's something like 63 males and...
Maybe Gary can add it up for you during the...
63 males.
In the free time.
63 males and 8 females.
Yeah.
All right, so someone should do something about this, right?
Yeah.
Or when I make the comment that men are funnier than women, perhaps there's some credence to that. Thus, when I follow the comment by saying, and you tell me this, as a doctor who has children.
What do I have?
I said 88.7 male, right? Did you figure that out already, or is that just me?
Based off your numbers, that's...
No. Go ahead and take the show.
I'll look up the exact
one. All right, but when he says...
That's right.
He was making fun of me. I didn't know if you...
No, I'll make... Who's making fun of you? I'm making fun of you.
I was making fun
of you. We're all making fun of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's two on top.
Yeah.
No, he said go look it up because I said something like I'm making numbers up.
I said maybe he can add it up, and then he did the math in his head. And
he said maybe he can look it up and add it up.
I know. He missed that part.
Okay.
Give him a break. Give him a break. I was on it.
No, you were making fun of him.
I was. I know.
All right,
but
you give him a break.
The guy fell for it.
All right. You didn't fall for it. You're a human being. You thought he gave you what you'd asked of him.
Right.
Not gave me a version of what I spat out off the top of my ass. All right. Now,
listen. Wouldn't it be crazy if it's the same?
Well, no, it won't be that far off. I tried.
To get all the Emmy-nominated shows for variety and then add up the number of the male writers versus female writers. Yeah, okay.
Well, there's five shows. Yeah. There's going to be 15 writers, 14 writers per show, and you can do the math. All right, what the hell were we talking about? Oh, no, okay. So also, when I was being criticized for this article, interview. By the way, which I didn't call up the paper and say I want to talk about male writers and female comedy writers. Yeah. They called me and they said, who's funnier, male? An hour into the interview, they said, who's funnier, men or women? I said, men. Why not? Who's more nurturing, Drew?
At the time,
Drew, who's more nurturing?
Women.
Whoa!
At the time.
Whoa!
At the time.
Whoa, I know a dude. I know a
dude. So nurturing.
Who wears gauchos. He lactates. And I met a woman once, my mom, who was not nurturing. Also, how dare you? By the way, as a man of science, when people bring up one instance of someone they'd met on an airplane.
I know.
What are we supposed to do with our argument? Pack it up?
Yeah.
You know, when you go like... Well, Hispanics aren't doing as well as Asians in the math and science. Ha! I know a guy named Pedro Gomez who's excelling in science and chemistry. What are we supposed to do with our argument? Oh.
Sorry.
Of course you know A. There's always A.
And by the way, A may be the most superior. He might be at the top of the line.
He may be the fucking Surgeon General, number one. And B, A may mean 100,000 or a million. We're still not enough numerically to crap on my point, though, although I appreciate it. I don't know the I know A. I don't know what that – when did that argument –
People confuse variance with mean.
When did that happen, though? When did the – oh, wait a minute. I know a guy who's very –
It's part of the PC thing. Okay. We're not allowed to have an opinion, Adam. You're not allowed. By the way, when you said that thing about men and women being funny, did you imagine you were saying something controversial? Do you remember saying it?
No. Listen, I didn't think I was saying anything controversial when I said the best pairing to raise a child as a man and a woman. And at the time, my gay publicists were like, look, you're entitled to your opinion. And I said, it's not my... By the way, I don't just come out of comas periodically, shout out opinions, and then go back into comas. I just look around. I see nature, not men and women, not human species. I look at all of nature, and I go, well, yeah, mama polar bear, daddy polar bear, or whatever. The male owl goes out and hunts, and the female does, or whatever, or they swap whatever the roles are.
Maybe part of the problem is that if you argue that that's evolution, right? That evolves.
It's just
that,
nature.
Well, nature evolves the most advantageous circumstance for survival. That's sort of what evolution is.
Yeah, my.
What do you mean evolution? What do you mean?
Yeah, well, I thought they liked evolution. I mean, versus creation. But here's the point.
Well, it depends. Listen, that's even an arguable point because it depends on being my best and study the outcomes and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, we'll talk about Saturday night. My wife took my kids out with you guys, and you watched the UCLA game.
Oh, yes.
And daddy went out and fucking worked. Yes. And that's kind of the way it goes.
That is an attack on me.
Look.
You're just calling me lazy.
I must say.
For hanging out with the wives.
It's better than, I'm calling you a pussy for sitting in the UCLA section after graduating from USC. But the point is this. Lynette did not go out and work. Lynette does not go out and work. And it's good that I go out and work. And it's good for the kids that she goes out and has a good time with them. The following day on Sunday, I went out to Coronado. I did a race. Daddy drove his race car. The kids were excited by the machinery and the noise and the cars and daddy doing his thing. Mama took him out to lunch or took him out to dinner on the way home. Daddy went back and worked again. But the point is mama fed them and nourished them and took care of them. Daddy drove his race car and got him excited and got him to see all that and be a part of all that. And then daddy went to work and mama tucked him into bed. And that's a good combination.
It's a team.
Yes. And now.
Team effort.
Female-female teams, fine. Male-male teams, fine. Give me the choice, all things being equal, as I always say, although no one ever hears that part of it. Male-female, we offer different things. I think it would be – I think people would understand. Dig. If you said, look, we got to go on this hike. This long, long, long hike. Mm. And somebody said, look, you got one guy, and this one guy's a whiz kid. He's super, super tech savvy. So he'll be able to take his iPhone with him, and he'll be able to map out our trek, and he'll be able to find out our coordinates. And if we get into trouble, he'll be able to send out a distress signal and stuff like that. And then you said, and this other dude... He don't know shit about tech, but this guy's a mountain man. I mean, he can skin a bear while the bear's still alive. You know, I mean, he'll fish. He'll make his own rod, pull up fish out of a pond. You'd go, all right, give me the tech guy. Give me the bear trapper guy. Yeah, yeah. But you wouldn't go, give me two tech guys.
Yeah. You might, if with the circumstance.
Someone would go, yeah, but you don't know these two tech guys. Yeah. I'd go, I'm not interested. Just, yeah. You're giving me a choice.
You like diversity of ability.
Random tech guy, okay. random skinner. Give me the outdoorsman. And give me the tech guy for the trip.
But so you're arguing, though, that in a same-sex couple, they should have differing nurturing skills and skills in the world and priorities.
I don't think two of anything helps a kid. And I don't think that all of the above, you know, well, I'll be the world's most nurturing dad and I'll be the world's hardest working dad. Like, no, you won't. Because if you're the world's hardest working dad, you're out in the Inland Empire, and you're out at the Licorama in Upland on a Saturday night. You're not
you,
at the UC.
You, the world's highest worker.
No, anyone. You too. You're out of town a lot. Yeah. You were out of town a lot. Mm-hmm. We spent, when your kids were at their formative whatever years, 8, 9, 10 years old, you and I were out on the road every weekend. Yep. That's the world's hardest working dad. You were working at nights. You were getting up in the morning and making the rounds. You are a hardworking and great provider, but you're physically out of the house. Yep. So you cannot be the world's hardest working dad or mom and be the most nurturing at the same time. There's just not enough. Look. Pick your kids up from school. I can't. I'm at work. I take them to the school play. What time is it? Noon on Tuesday. I can't. I'm what? How about Saturdays? The kids' party. They're having a play date. I'm in Minnesota on Saturday. I can't do it. Okay. You're not the world's greatest or most nurturing.
Yeah.
You will provide. They will nurture from a safer vehicle because you are paying for that vehicle. So you're not going to be all things to your kid.
The all things to all people kind of thing is a really interesting phenomenon right now. Gary, back me up on this. I know you're adding up the names of the writers on Friday shows.
It's just from the one category. Okay.
I got you. I'm a minute away.
I'm doing a show called All About Women over at Podcast One. And that show, we're just doing women's issues, you know, on a regular basis. And this really interesting phenomenon has come up where all these women – almost every woman I've interviewed comes, and these are all interesting, highly successful women, have come up with the same issue, which is that they feel they've been sold a bill of goods, that you can't be all things. They're in a panic about fertility. I mean, really interesting. I mean, women are – it's so your point is, I think, well taken, is that we kind of need to divide the powers up a little bit. And people need to have different times of life. They do different things.
Hey, but listen, it's Lynette understands it's not her job to go out and provide. It's her job to provide something else for these kids.
Telling women they should be doing both now.
I know, and I don't. I never tell Lynette she should be doing both. I don't, and that's fine. She doesn't tell me every once in a while. She tells me I'm a horrible dad, but other than that every once in a while argument we have where she explains that everyone's scared of me, everyone hates me, and my kids hate me too.
Well, there's that.
But she
did complain a little bit about you missing back to school night. No, wait, she complained a lot about that.
Back to school.
Come on. You got to go to shit like that.
Listen.
You got to figure out how to make some of this
stuff. I've had make some.
Don't do what your parents did. Don't be them.
I went to the fucking – first off, I went to the motherfucking orientation night.
Yeah.
Number one, the pre-orientation night.
Yeah, yeah.
Number one. Number two –
don't you want to meet their teachers and see their classrooms?
I did. I went to my son's play on last week in the middle of the week, the middle of the day.
You say that like you say, I went to the dentist and had a tooth pulled.
Wow.
No.
That's got to be insane. Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Sorry.
That is insane. We're reacting to something Gary just posted here. Go ahead.
Yes. The 86.7. So almost 87%.
Yeah, 72 out of 83.
Wait. Adam's original guess
came out of thin air
was 88.7% male writers. And the actual reality is 86.7. male writers on variety shows.
I'm surprised. That is not a victory for me.
Why?
Because
that's insane.
Because I did the math very quickly in my head, and when I do the math very quickly in my head, I'm not more than a percentage point
off. Like, it's like your carpentry judgment comes to bear on writers numbers.
Yeah, what I did is rounded up a little bit to make my point, and that's where I got off my answer. Now, hold on. We'll get back to the school thing in a second.
Right.
Let me say this. Now, am I wrong? And also in that article, I said, look, if my daughter has somewhat of a sense of humor, a little bit of a sense of humor, I'm sending her down to get in one of those writer's rooms because they're looking for women. This number, this 86.7, they would like to see it next year at 75%, not at 90%. As a matter of fact, It might be 100%, but they got somebody telling them, hey, when it comes to the first 10 guys or 10 whoever's, they don't care. When it gets down to the end,
better be a woman.
You better put a woman in there.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying my son's just basically a white guy who's going to come from a life of privilege. And if he and my daughter have the same sense of humor, I will instruct my daughter, go get in one of those sitcom writers' rooms or go get in one of those Daily Show writers' rooms. Go get a job as a writer. My son, I will say, I don't know if you're going to make the cut.
Right.
All right. Is that, what does that make me?
Sexist.
Or just realistic.
And a pragmatist. Sexist pragmatist.
Right. Yeah. Don't you think your daughter would have a better chance over your two sons of getting into one of those writers' rooms if they had the exact same ability?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, there you go. And if your daughter was Asian and trying to get into UCLA, what would you tell her?
Be careful.
I'd tell her don't bother.
Well, you better have the numbers.
Well, I mean, if your daughter wasn't, you know, have a 4.3 GPA and a 2,000 on her SATs, what would you tell her? I mean, if she was just a B student.
No, I say forget it.
Right. Why?
They got enough. They right. don't frizz. You're not going to make
If she were Hispanic, what would you tell her?
I'd look at the numbers and I'd say.
No, you tell her, go do it.
I might, yeah. If they look what they were doing, you know.
If she's Hispanic with a B+, you go over there. Leave your checkbook at home. Okay. Leave your checkbook at home.
Why?
You probably can get yourself a scholarship or something.
Wow.
Well, they don't need any Asian. Asians need not apply to UCLA.
Speaking of UCLA.
So what are we? You're racist, misogynist, or we just want our daughters to get a gig? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair, by the way, to the guys a little bit funnier than the chick? Fair to the Asian? GPA was a little higher than Hispanic? That fair?
Okay. Well, that's the whole argument against affirmative action.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of UCLA, your son is now a football enthusiast.
Good. Hold on. I'm not done defending myself. Went to the kids' play. Pick them up at school quite a bit. But went to the play. But the back-to-school night, I had to work. But that's, well, first off, this notion of like, work doesn't really count. You know, you have to go to this thing. Because I didn't say I have to drink. I said I had to work. Back-to-school night was work night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the mangria tasting? Is that what you had to drink?
No. What I'm saying is I don't say I can't go to back to school night.
To the bar.
I have to stay home and get drunk, or I have to go to the bar. I have to go to work.
Yeah,
work
yeah.
used to count for a little bit more.
I understand.
Secondly, I can be involved. I don't need to be immersed in their school life here in the second grade. I went to the – first off, most of it is just a huge fucking time suck. It's just a math. And by the way, the part where they go, yeah, but it's important for them to see you. I don't know how important it is for them to see you. As a matter of fact, some study came out that said parents are spending too much time at their kids' schools. There's too much involvement at the school. At home, be involved. But you don't have to go 3 days a week. You know, I mean, mom, could you imagine your mom volunteering at your school and just being hovering around the hallways?
You wouldn't like it.
Fuck no, I wouldn't like it. You go to school, there's a little autonomy. It's a little safe. It's a little leave the nest, but with bubble wrap on. You're going to go to a place. You're going to be supervised. You're going to be with your peers. You're going to have to kind of learn to get along and get off with your peers and so on and so forth and learn your stuff. And then mommy will pick you up or daddy will pick you up. But for this period of time, you're gone. I don't know that mom and daddy, they want mommy and daddy to volunteer at the school all the time. But at a certain point, you're going to turn 18. You're going off to college. Mom and daddy aren't coming with you. Or in my case, you're going to go pick up garbage on a construction site. But mommy and daddy aren't going to go
Tuesday and give you a hand. There's a strange thing where there's either not involved enough or not involved at all or too involved. That's, again, it's almost like the way our economic situation has played out is playing out in our socialization of kids at school, right?
Yeah.
It's like two involved parents and not involved
parents. Well, listen, what we're doing, what I refuse to engage in is this fucking first world problem, rich whitey hysteria of the filtered water, the bottled water, the sunscreen slathered on, the no vaccines, the mommy and daddy got to be at every event all the time. You cut the umbilical cord. You play them classical music through
the uterus.
Through the uterus. Just listen, everybody, stop it. The kids will be fine. They are getting sustenance. They are getting protection. They're driving vehicles in. They're being transported in vehicles that are 1,000 times safer than we were transported in. Their diet is so much more advanced. It's so much better. They're hydrated to the point where the molars are floating. They're fine.
Here's what's
interesting. They don't need the next level.
I'm giving a talk. Do you ever hear of the YPO, Young Presidents Organization?
Yes. Yeah. I was chairperson of many years and delivered
sure
the commencement
you used to
wear address.
Your smoking jacket when you do. it's a group of people that own companies, basically, and they are obsessed with their teenage kids.
What's the initial?
YPO.
Oh, no. See, for me, that was me walking into my garage when Ray was taking a leak on my mattress, and I'd yell, YPO! Oh, no, it's on the pillow. And then Ray would laugh.
And so I was looking up some literature on wealth and, you know, people with money and their kids and stuff. And there's some interesting stuff out there. But the one thing that jumped out at me is that if you are lower on the socioeconomic scale, the parenting and the environment has much greater impact on the outcome for the kids than if you're in a wealthy category.
Right. Because in a wealthy category,
everything's also taken care of. The real.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff's farmed out.
Right.
Yeah. So when you're, you know, living in the inner city and, you know, it's important that you get walked home from your school because it's such a dangerous neighborhood.
Yeah.
So thus more parent involvement.
And
it's important
that the
nutrition and then just the homework and stuff, maybe the level of education, the teachers, the curriculum, the equipment or whatever. Maybe it's not. So you need to focus more. Yeah, it's like it's basically having a slow metabolism and having to really watch what you eat and really work, you know. Yeah. And that's unfortunately what it's going to take. Not according to the Huffington Post, because according to the Huffington Post, there's a school to prison pipeline. So it's pretty much just a foregone conclusion that if you sign up to certain schools that already have the pipeline in place, well, then you're going straight to jail.
Of course.
But for other places that have not yet completed the pipeline, that's why I said families and education would be the cure for this. Although it's much more complicated than that.
Although I do hear people...
Well, that's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair.
That's not fair.
It's not fair, according to Huffington Post. It's not fair.
I do hear people talking more, using that kind of language more these days, though.
Well, you will find that everyone will use the language that I used in the past about everything in the future because it's just the fucking truth. It's not... The truth... Here's the thing about the truth. The truth comes around. It just takes a while. It just takes a while for the talking heads fucking... by the way, do-gooders who are doing tons of harm at places like the Huffington Post to shut the fuck up and get out of the way and let the truth take over. It happens every time. There's been a million and one stories that have gone down this way, and they come around. Now, they don't report on their own
shortcomings,
hypocrisy, and stupidity when the truth comes around, but the truth will come around. It's here. It's been here. It will always be here. It's hard to avoid that. As I've said, you want to lose weight, diet, and exercise. you bring up all the variables, and I will tell you how my discussion, just like you want to get out of the cycle of poverty or whatever they're describing it as. When I say family and education, same with diet and exercise, as I've said before, for weight loss. But you bring up all the variables in weight loss, and I will tell you my answer. Go ahead, Drew.
All the variables in weight loss?
Yeah.
Are you exercising enough?
No, you bring up all the variables in weight loss.
Metabolism.
Diet and exercise.
Income.
Yeah, income status.
All right, I'll do it with Gary.
Well, I'm not sure what you're – I'm trying to figure out what you got. Having four
limbs.
Well,
of course, you have no idea where I'm going with anything. Gary, go ahead.
Income.
No, I know you're –
Diet and exercise.
Working parents.
Diet and exercise.
A lack of education.
Diet and exercise.
Socioeconomic status.
Diet and exercise.
Skin color.
Well, I'm trying to work in a okay. Now I'm caught between the bookends here.
I was trying to help Drew.
Shall I do it with myself?
The point is, anything I say, the answer is diet and exercise.
When it comes to weight loss, whatever you say, you can talk about metabolism. I'll tell you diet and exercise. You can talk about
no matter the context,
heredity.
No matter the context, it's still diet and exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not so much for my buddy Ray, but for the Porcelain Punisher over there, maybe a little more. Now, the Huffington Post people would go, well, it's not fair that that Ray gets to smoke and drink beer and not work out and look how he looks. It's not fair to guys like Matt. Okay, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
Diet and exercise.
Or we could try to get Ray to stop smoking, but it doesn't matter. Ray's Ray. He has his metabolism.
Yeah.
You could tell him to start giving some of his beer and cigarettes to Matt, but it's still not going to help. Or you could tax Ray for his beer and cigarettes and start giving the money toward nutritional campaigns. But at some point, diet and exercise. At some point, the family and education.
If you really go insane with that kind of thinking, it becomes, well, you better just spread Ray's genes around.
And restrict Matt's
because it's not fair otherwise. All the kids coming out, we'll have to deal with this unfairness.
Ultimately, that's what we're talking about. Anyway, now successfully 0 for 28,000 in role-playing with Dr. Drew, everybody.
Yeah. It's amazing when you keep hitting your head against that wall.
It's my fault. All right. So as far as the kids go, I provide. They have the greatest life in the world. I take them out and do the events. They have fun. I make sure, as I've said, this thing, and I don't know where you're at. It's always been a big thing with me. It's something that's personal to me, but I think it's important. Never spoken of.
Uh-oh. What are we talking about here?
Rarely.
Okay.
Rarely spoken
important
of.
Important to you, but rarely spoken of.
Rarely.
That doesn't make sense to me somehow. It's important to you, usually probably very often spoken of.
Spoken of by me. Ah. No one else speaks
okay.
of
Shocking.
It.
Shocking.
Okay. Everybody talks about their children. Yeah. And they talk about, you know, safe place. Yeah. And then they talk about a learning environment. Yeah. And then they talk about, you know, tutors and nannies and good help and prenatal care. Blah, 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 blah. By the way, it came out that you can have a drink, you have a glass of wine and be pregnant. Oh, knock sure. me over with a feather, Drew. Sure. What did I always say?
Preterm labor, they treat with alcohol.
What did I always say about that?
That it should be fine.
I know it's fine. I'm going to be a fucking doctor, so you can have a glass of wine. Now, what they do is they go, yes, but we're worried that one glass of wine will lead into a box or a barrel of wine. It's like, that's not your job, clinician. Your job is to tell us the data, not worry about how I'm going to fucking run with it. It's like saying, well, if we gave correct data on cars, miles traveled per death on the nation's highway, if we gave you accurate data, then everyone would just drive around 150 miles an hour.
Of course they would.
Or we wouldn't. But give us
sane.
The data,
yeah.
And then we'll do with the data what we will. Don't worry about saving us from ourselves. Now, Drew, you got a piece of scum hanging
you.
From your face.
Thank there. You for
get,
that.
Here's it. Get the man a napkin. All right. So,
I
hold
got,
on.
Yeah.
All this fucking bullshit we talk about with the learning, the times tables and all this shit, it's fine. It's all fine. It's all fine. But the number one thing doesn't get discussed. Joy. Not the joy of the children, because it's a lot about the children feeling satisfied, feeling good about themselves.
You read about
feeling
this, or this is something you've been thinking about?
No, I've always said it. The kids should see the parents experiencing joy.
Now, whoa.
Experiencing
that's
joy.
That's actually, now you're into a complex area that I've thought a lot about. So
right.
This is what, now, so hold on a second, because I really want to dig into this. So you're saying that people don't think enough about this or talk enough about it?
As it pertains to raising.
Education. Okay.
Quiet. As it pertains to raising children.
Yeah.
The topics go in this order,
yeah.
usually. Education.
Yeah.
Safety.
Yeah.
Safety, safety, safety. Then education. Then, you know, exposure to
yep.
violence,
yep.
sexual content or whatever.
Yep.
Then, you know, peanut allergies and blah, 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 blah. Yep. And it just all the way down to hydration, filtered water, non-gluten, whatever. Just, you know, fucking vaccines. A long laundry list of neither here nor there bullshit. Unless you're in the one percentile who's actually, or less than one percentile is actually allergic to peanuts or whatever. But for everyone else, it's just a big, long laundry list, Santa's list of bullshit. And then, somewhere, and by the way, it doesn't make the list because it's not on the top 25, is joy.
Not joy in the kids' joy?
No. The kids' joy is somewhere on that list.
Is it?
kids feeling good about that.
That's
well,
not
we,
joy, though.
Yeah, I know. We fuck it up by handing them participation trophies.
It becomes a steam, which is a fucked up goal.
Right.
In
no.
fact, is associated with bad outcomes.
Their joy.
Ray has high self-esteem.
Yes. Kids' joy. I know. Kids' joy. You're right. Kids' joy and parents' joy. Meaning, how would it have affected you? I know how would it have affected me to see mama, you know, in the kitchen with the radio on, making breakfast. This is already an outlandish scenario.
At the Corolla house?
But a Beach Boys song comes on the radio, and she goes, oh, I love this song. And see her, like, flipping the eggs and dancing and then grabbing you and swinging you around, just going, oh, mama's happy. Well, mama's enjoying herself.
Describing the every start of every day in the Corolla household, no?
Just joy, meaning.
Okay.
What, now, hold on. Could be something that, you know, hey, your team or
your car
your vintage racing or just something that, well, daddy really gets his rocks off doing this.
Well, it's interesting to me that you don't say happiness because people do a lot of like, well, I want to be happy. I want to be happy.
That we talk about happiness. I don't know what that means.
They don't even know what the fuck they're talking about. My point always is you want to talk to somebody happy? Talk to one of my heroin addicts, their first hit of the day. Happy. Happy. Now, is that happiness?
Yeah.
Okay, so they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Happens.
Right.
I think they're talking about a good life, I think, but I'm not sure anybody's given any thought to that. But joy is something very interesting you bring that up because I've been thinking a lot about that lately. Joy, I suggest, mm-hmm. is an interpersonal experience. It's mm-hmm. not euphoria. It's like not my heroin addict. It's something shared with people. It's mutually enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
When you say joy, it's something – really, we're talking about something, a groups of people or two, at least two people together is really what we talk about when we enjoy.
The only time I ever experienced joy in my family and my family experiencing joy is once in a blue moon, maybe twice a year, my dad would go to the Gold family. The guy was a doctor, Dr. Gold. Dr. Gold lived up in the hills. Hope you're sitting down, Hebrew Heights. And he played the stand-up bass. And my dad would go there and bring his horn. Right. And there'd be some guy playing the drums. And they would jam. And then Mrs. Gold would, you know, be in the kitchen, you know, baking the lasagna. And the kids would be running around, playing around the house. And the dads
Home
would all be jamming, you know. And, And they would gather people in when it came time to sort of do their set. And they would all take turns doing their little solos, and I'm sure they weren't great, but they weren't bad, and they were good enough. And there was my dad doing his thing, you know. And I thought, wow, here we are in a decent house. It seems to be some air conditioning coming out of the side there wall, and here he is, really looking for the first time ever like he's enjoying his life and experiencing joy. And it brought me great satisfaction. I felt good. I felt relieved.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like, oh, he's in a good mood.
Well, it turns out that's how we build our regulatory system. That's how we build emotional regulation is in this context. We mutually enhance experiences through joy. It's amplified affect.
Mm-hmm.
His joy is being with that group but amplifying the experience by playing with other people. And then you were basking in that joy and experienced some of that with him.
Why do you think people are so incredibly attracted to concerts? You know, when those five guys are on stage and they're just jamming and their backs aren't to each other. You know, they turn to each other and they're just jamming. And now, it's a weird thing because here's one guy playing the guitar. Here's another guy playing the bass. They're literally facing each other on stage. The amphitheater has 15,000 people. We're all watching these two guys looking at each other. But yet, oh, their joy.
Well,
your joy. And what about sports? What about organized sports when they score the touchdown and they're all celebrating in the end zone?
It's interesting because I had not thought of it until you sort of crafted it this way, is that it bleeds into fun. Joy and fun are closely related.
Right.
And all are mutually enhanced affects.
Mm-hmm.
You had no joy in your household. I had no fun. Interesting.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so when it comes to the rearing of the kids, I am not that caught up in their, the three different theirs that they're going to have to learn to spell just because I know they're going to learn that.
But
All right, quiet. They're going to get that. They go to a good school. They have good teachers. They're going to get that. That's going to happen. Yes, relax.
Right.
And there are many other things in their life that I don't worry about. For instance, drinking tap water. I do not mind that. As a matter of fact, with the fluoridation and stuff, who knows what the long-term whatevers of us and all the fucking whatever chemicals are in the bottle that's been sitting on the car seat out in the sun, leaching all the chemicals. It can't be good. Anyway, I'll be vindicated when everyone gets pancreatic cancer at age 27. Fine. That'll be a joyous day for me. The point is this. Joy is something that I'd like to focus on. And putting on music and dancing in front of the kids, swinging them around, being physical with them, you know, wrestling with them, being silly with them. And then bring them to the UCLA game on a Saturday night. And Sunday morning, it's off to Coronado to watch Daddy experience joy and satisfaction racing his Beery 510.
So what you're saying is you should have been with us at the UCLA game.
No, because they had joy without me. They experienced
joy without me is an important. But with the parents seems to be an important feature, not just joy with their peers, joy with their parents.
They had mommy,
friends.
They had you,
a joy machine
role model. But no,
Laugh at that, Chris.
But speaking of machine, there's this element too, which is taking my car to Coronado. Is expensive. The fuel is super expensive. The tires are expensive. Entering the race is expensive. Everything's expensive. I must sacrifice not being at the UCLA game. I'm not saying I can't afford it and skip the thing, but I will not be at the UCLA. Quiet. I'll not be at the UCLA game on a Friday. Saturday night. I will instead go out and make money on a Saturday night. Now we spent Saturday together. We went out to lunch, and we got a lot of FaceTime in. Then Saturday night, Daddy's going to go make some money. Then Sunday, he's going to spend some of that money doing his joy, which is racing these vintage cars, and then you can come in on that.
And I heard a lot about it, too, from your son.
Oh, did you?
We are getting up at 5 in the morning. I'm going to get up at 5. We got to leave at 6. We are going to Coronado. You give me a whole thing
about it.
He goes, well, I'm going down with 5 guys. And I go, really? Who's going down? He goes, Mike Lynch, Mike Hoggs. Just a bunch of guys named Mike. going with that.
That's right.
A bunch of guys named Mike. Everybody's named Mike.
5 dudes. I mean, look, it's going to be the kind of thing. I have, you know, no memory of my dad in any part, way, shape, or form of this. And it's sad because my dad is 83, and when he goes, my memory will be of him reading on a sofa, you know, or taking a walk in sandals or something. I won't have a bunch of stuff to draw back on. And hopefully my son, and I don't say hopefully, he will. He'll remember. He'll have different versions of this, but it'll be the version where we would go to Coronado and we would pack the dudes up and all my dad's guys would meet him at his house at 6 in the morning and we'd jump into the car and we'd drive out there and then they'd all pile out and start working on the car and then dad would get all suited up and get in the car and they'd make a bunch of noise and he'd come back and, you know, he always play. If I finish 12th, he has me finishing 5th, you know. I mean, honestly, he bumps me up like 7 spots every time I come back. I don't argue with him.
Here's the comedy. By the way, your daughter went too. And she goes, I'm going too. And I go, really? Getting up at 5 in the morning? Absolutely not.
That's right.
No way.
She's going with the girls.
I'm going.
Stop talking, Daddy.
You can show pictures, by the way, if you have them. Ah, LegalZoom, baby. Start your dream business. It's going to be a very proud moment. Experience joy.
Ooh.
Satisfaction. First comes satisfaction, then comes joy. All right.
And you do it hat that Sonny's got.
With LegalZoom. That's right. Mm-hmm. They can personally assist you, and they can help with the legal protection. Yes, that is me and the big – by the way, if you have other pictures, you can show them, but I'll
– That's Lanetomy at the UCLA.
Right. I'll give you a little story about that picture, if that's the only one we have for now. LegalZoom. LegalZoom.com. comes in handy, baby. Over 1 million businesses got started with LegalZoom, and they're ready to help you start your business, too. Get ready to start the joy with LegalZoom.com.
Form an LLC, get a DBA, incorporate, or form a nonprofit. All starting at just $99. Plus, you'll save even more when you enter Drew, D-R-E-W, in the referral box at checkout. Help ensure your business and assets are legally protected at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom can provide self-help services at your specific direction or connect you with an attorney, but they are not a law firm.
All right.
Tell me about that picture.
That picture. The old guy in the back leaning against my dually. My white Ford 350 dually.
That's your, are you actually your dually?
Yeah.
I didn't know you had a dually. That's interesting.
I bought a dually because I have to drag a 36-foot trailer.
Ah.
And that's attached to the back of the dually, although you cannot see that. The old guy is an 80-year-old guy. You know, what these guys do is they come up to you and they throw out a name like, hey, you know, I knew Gene Crow back in the day. Gene used to be, well, I don't have to tell you, Gene did all the engines for these Nissans back in the day. Bob Sharp and Paul Newman both good dear friends with Gene, and then Gene, of course, sadly, Gene's passed. But, you know, Gene, you know, they start talking about it. Right. This guy had an idea for a TV show.
Oh.
And
he had a pitch for you.
He had a pitch for me.
Right.
This is it's Saturday Night Live, but it's conservative. It's conservative, and it's done. It's done on every week. I've seen you on O'Reilly, and I'm not a comedy writer. And I literally said to him, "Listen, I have to get into the car now because we're gritting up because it's time to go. I'm in my fire suit and everything. I'm pulling my helmet on. I said I have to get in the car now." But when I get out of the car the race, I'll have a beer and I'll have a moment. And we can finish the comment. Well, this is from a conservative's bent. Oh, you know, this is a comedy show, but it's conservative. And it's like I know the guy's old, and I understand he has a pitch, and so on and so forth. But first off, to all the old people that pitch me things, if one of your ideas was going to work, it would have worked by your 77th birthday. I want to say that to every. Like 51-year-old who's thinking about getting into stand-up, like it would have reared its head by now. I wish I could play in the NFL, but I do not hang on to that dream.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Feel same with if you had an idea that was television worthy, it would have come out sometime in the 50s when you're in your 50s.
Yeah.
So he literally just continues on, and I'm. You know, zipping up the neck and undoing the neck on my thing and walking toward my car. And it's that thing where it's like, I know the social cue thing is out the window when you get old, but it is that way with a lot of people now where I'm literally leaning. Yeah. You know, part like when Michael Jackson would do his dance and he would do that weird lean move. I'm leaning toward my car, like, oh, and I'm going. And not only am I leaning, I'm saying, I must leave now.
And you're saying we'll finish it up later, not like I get out of here. Scram.
And he know, like the conversation starts with, what group you're running in? I'm running in the 2.5 Trans Am group. Oh, when are you guys going out? We're going out next. So I got to get in the car. Okay, well, let me give you a pitch. It's really like somebody saying, when you got to take a piss? Right now. All right. Let me read the Torah to you. It's like, I just told you what I was doing, and so he gave me the thumbnail, and then I said, all right, now I got to get in the car, and he just
kept going,
and now
was he, like, talking to you through the window of the side thing of the car? And
well, thank God I have a net. So at a certain point, I just said, listen, I got to go, but don't worry. When I got out of the car, he was waiting.
The pitch. There it came.
I was waiting for the pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All righty.
What was the pitch again? Conservative?
It was.
Saturday Night Live?
It had an acronym, which all old guys. Can you tell me, Drew? Tell me what happens, and what can we look forward to? Old guys get obsessed with certain things that entertain them and almost nobody else, and find them. My grandfather, my old Jewish grandfather, was a writer. My old Jewish grandfather said, just a few years before he died, would become obsessed with Jewish cuisine as it meets Mexican food.
What?
Enchilatka. And he'd have like a new one chambered for me every time I came over.
You just made that up right then, right?
No.
He had an enchilatka?
He didn't make it. That was his joke. He became obsessed.
I see.
You see.
I see. I thought he actually was.
No. Old guys. The point is this. He was not sitting in a kitchen. He was coming up with these things to amuse that did not really amuse. And they do the same thing with these like acronyms and stuff. This was called, it was something like.
So an SNL, he had some.
Well, SNL doesn't sound
right,
like anything.
Not an acronym, yeah.
This was like CHIRP, you know, and it spelled out something conservative, right.
Conservative humor.
Right. Yeah. We'll call it CHIRPing.
Radio, television.
Right. Chirp, yeah. We'll call it chirp. Yeah, and he was doing it, that was part of the pitch.
That's what made it definitely a success. It had an acronym attached to it. Somehow that guarantees its success. It's like a stamp of approval.
In the old guy world, that kind of extra world, you know?
It's kismet. It's like kismet. That means it was meant. It even has an acronym.
Yeah, he told me it was like the old show, That Was the Week That Was, which they brought back a little bit. They had a whole hip song to that stuff, but it would be a conservative whatever. Yeah. Anyway, it was a long pitch. Eventually I got in the car. The good thing about driving this car is you have custom earplugs that are made from molds where you get to actually start physically just putting – guy's pitching his TV show and I'm physically fitting my molded earplugs in. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. And again, subscribe via the PayPal button. We love you for it. And me and Dr. Drew, first three shows out as we speak, iTunes and AdamCarolla.com. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Max Pat, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.